If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Levi's, Plow & Hearth, Adidas, Sephora, and Neiman Marcus. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. And it's easy to use. And you get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's R-A-K-U-T-E-N, Rakuten.com.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
When we started this show, I told you it was a football Friday, but not just any ordinary football Friday, a divisional round football Friday for one of the best weekends of football each and every NFL season, the best of the best. So that requires our best here on the early line. And again, not just an ordinary football Friday this season, a special one. Drum roll, please. Okay, not so much a drum roll. The grand reveal. Donnie Wrightside here for the third and final hour of this Football Friday to help you get ready for a divisional round weekend. We got his best bets, his handicaps yesterday. Well, surprise, DRS is back. We're happy to have you, Donnie.
Been a while here for a Football Friday. Hasn't been since August since your boy reappeared on a Friday show. But hear me out on this. I'm coming to bring the pain. I just wiped the cold out of my eye. But by the way, if this could be a change in the future, BSS, where I just come in for the final hour of the show, get a little bit more extra sleep time, be on my P's and Q's here. I don't know. Maybe the company's thinking right here. Could be a little DRS 1 hour shot here on Monday through Friday. Would be quite nice.
Were you happy to get the call yesterday from Joe Frieza?
No, I was not.
Yeah, but I'm happy that you have now taken your unhappiness and turned it into a positive spin, potentially, for Donnie Wrightside's schedule, always trying to accommodate that. We appreciate the time, DRS. I am happy to do a pick six together once again, something we have not done for the entirety of the 2024 NFL season on a Football Friday, and we get to do it for the divisional round weekend. And maybe if you read between the tea leaves, you saw a little spoiler to this third and final hour with DRS and what we're about to do, as he was tagged in a certain poll on social media. We want to get your thoughts, that being you, the people out there, on this divisional round weekend. In entering the divisional round with eight teams still standing in the chase for a Super Bowl and Lombardi Trophy, what is the best bet? We all find out together in Fade the Public. At Sports Grid on Twitter, did DRS even hit the Riz Twiz on this?
I did. I believe I did it.
Oh, he did?
I think I did. Yeah.
Yeah, you did. A lot of Riz Twiz. I mean, you were promoting your own appearance here today for quite some time. But at Sports Grid on Twitter, entering the division around, which team is the best bet to win Super Bowl 59? The Lions are the favorites, the shortest price at plus 290. The Chiefs, second best number at plus 350, trying to win that third consecutive Lombardi Trophy. The Eagles at plus 420, or if you selected other, we asked for a reply. DRS, a ton of replies to this Fade the Public poll. We'll go through a few, But most of the public, nearly 37%, still saying it's the Lions to play in the franchise's first ever Super Bowl to win the Lions' first ever Lombardi Trophy.
Yeah, there's two ways to look at this poll, right? And if you're fading the public, great. If you're riding with the public, fantastic. But also, there are price points involved here. We're not just asking you who's the best team to win the Super Bowl with no price points, where you just maybe would pick the lowest number here in the odds market. Yeah. But for me, I didn't do that. Plus 290 on the Lions, they are going to have to go through eight times. And we're just projecting this out. Let's just say favorites roll. Eagles, Lions. What an absolute titanic fight here for them to get to the Super Bowl. Understand that. But also before that, Washington Commanders are going to be there. You take a look, you know, on the opposite side. Baltimore Ravens maybe have a chance at it. The Buffalo Bills. But the Chiefs for me at plus 350 was the point for me because I think they have a great shot to get to the Super Bowl because if they get through this week, yeah, that should be a layup for them with a victory over the Texans, which then they are going to face either the Buffalo Bills or the Baltimore Ravens. But understand this, a lot of write-ins, which we'll get to. Hey, I love the Bills to win it. Bills are a great football team. Hey, I love the Ravens to win it. Great football team as well. Those two got to play each other. Then they got to play Kansas City in Kansas City, yeah. And then they got to get to the Super Bowl and win it here. So for me, it's the Kansas City Chiefs. Even though they are going to get an unbelievable punch the next week in the AFC Championship, where I expect them to be there, which would be either the Buffalo Bills or the Baltimore Ravens. Yeah. But for me, Chiefs at home, win this week, play next week. I like the odds at plus 350. It's the Chiefs for me.
And I think it's a great point, DRS. We asked best bet entering the divisional round weekend, right? And how you forecast the remainder of this playoff run and where those prices are at the moment. The Chiefs are the favorite to win the AFC Championship. They're more than a touchdown favorite at home tomorrow against the Texans. They will be even a slight favorite against either the Ravens or the Bills. And some of those numbers, I think, may be a little bit too tight, given home field advantage, given the fact it is Arrowhead, given the fact if the Chiefs do win tomorrow, even outright, they'll play in their seventh consecutive AFC Championship game, six of those 7 years at home in Kansas City. So at that price point, it would make a ton of sense. Now, I have a Super Bowl ticket on the Lions, so I don't mind the value at plus 290. My number much earlier in the year, over 2.5 months ago, at a 6-1 price. But Donnie, we asked for a reply, and you see the three best prices. The Lions, the Chiefs, and the Eagles, the two teams excluded that many feel are the rightful AFC championship favorites, if you will. The Ravens and the Bills are maybe the best teams in the AFC, and that the divisional round matchup on Sunday in Western New York could be a de facto AFC title game. We got about four replies for the Bills, three replies for the Ravens. Of those two numbers, Baltimore plus 470, Buffalo plus 550, what do you believe is the better bet at that price point?
I would still say Ravens. And even as we're talking about this, the Ravens aren't home this weekend against the Buffalo Bills. Ravens are on the road, so that's going to be a tough one just to beat Buffalo. And then you're not going to be home because we're anticipating that if chalk holds, you're going to Kansas City at that point. But if there's one team that can be built for this, and if they just stick to the game plan by running the football and throwing less than 25 times, that team is hell on wheels and could possibly wind up in the Super Bowl. For me, even though you're saying, Donnie, wait a second, higher seed here, Buffalo Bills at home, you're asking the Ravens to go on the road, and then get to the Super Bowl and win it here, I'm still going to go with the Ravens. I just think if they stick to the script, as I keep saying, they're going to be the best team in the AFC with the best chance to move on if you're looking for that underdog price to knock off the Kansas City Chiefs.
And I do believe, DRS, as we kind of discussed with Joe Ranieri, as we looked at the hypothetical lines for what the AFC title game would be, the numbers currently in the AFC championship odds, and taking that a step further for Super Bowl 59. Regardless of who you think wins this weekend in Buffalo, if it's the Bills and you feel pretty sound in that, or it's the Ravens as an ever so slight road favorite, if you feel convinced or pretty close to convinced, or comfortable perhaps, confident that Baltimore wins, Buffalo wins outright, which is basically all you need to pick for the game itself. You should take it every step, right? You should take it to the AFC Championship, the early lines, the title price against the Chiefs. You should take it to that Super Bowl number at plus 470 for the Ravens and plus 550 for Buffalo. The Chiefs have the postseason pedigree. There is no doubt about that. But if you think one of these two franchises, in the Ravens, in the Bills, and one of these two quarterbacks can change that narrative surrounding their team, their play in postseasons. You are getting a lot of value and plus money prices for the remainder of what would be a deep playoff run.
Absolutely. And you're looking at teams where we don't have many arguments for right now. Understanding, I don't think the Texans can win. Can I think they put up a fight? Yes. Same thing with the Rams in Philadelphia. Absolutely. I'll explain it a little bit later. But if you are looking towards these teams that we're talking about, the Lions, the Chiefs, the Eagles, the Bills, and the Ravens, you can say either one of those teams can win it. And I can't fault you for saying that. There's no shot the Ravens can win it. What? There's no chance the Buffalo. What? Absolutely. Right. They can win this. We're just trying to look at some of these optimistic numbers. And just from the poll itself, the Lions 290, the favorites to get from the NFC to the championship, and then the Chiefs at plus 350. I just like the price point, Ben, on the plus 350 better than the plus 290, even though both of those teams with great chances to go, I'll just take the better odds.
I think it makes a ton of sense, DRS, from a handicapping and number perspective. We continue our deep dive around the divisional round next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Football available on the very fun sponsor of this show, the FanDuel Sportsbook, our favorite out there, in a way that you can compare all four of our divisional round matchups. We've got some lofty spreads. We've got two totals north of 50. There is a lot to break down for the divisional round. Highest scoring game of the weekend. Of course, you associate it with what the pregame over-under is. And there is one at 55.5, a very lofty total for Saturday night in Detroit, and thus the shortest price to be the highest scoring game of this divisional round. Plus 110. The other game north of 50 is the Bills and the Ravens on Sunday. Plus 210. Lowest scoring game, 41 in a hook, is the total for the Chiefs and the Texans. The opening game of our four this weekend, and thus the shortest price at plus 130. Donnie, I'll ask the question like this. Is there any chance that you think these odds don't go chalk, that it doesn't just follow the totals that we will see entering the games?
Now, I do think there will be some mismatches here, but the overall favorite here, if we're talking about, let's just say, the highest scoring game, Washington and Detroit, I think it's pretty easy to line that up, because we're not talking about September games, Ben, which we're going to get into, which means, hey, every game is 75 degrees and sunny and everybody's got great legs because they haven't been all the way through a 16, 17 game slate per se at this point. So for my money here, there are sort of advantages just taking, saying, you know what, one game's played in perfect elements, the others are not, and we'll play off of that this weekend.
Yeah, I think it's a really good point as well, DRS. It's difficult, I think, to bet these markets sometimes outside of a little pizza bet, a small sprinkle, because you're basically hoping for two things. If you wanted to take even the Bills and the Ravens, which also has a very lofty total for a division round playoff matchup at 51 and a hook, you really need the game, at least handicapping thought, to go over that number. And you would need the Lions and the Commanders to go well under its total of 55.5. That game could stay under with 54 points and you might find yourself in a bizarre middle. Let's go to where we expect points to be at a premium. Donnie, here's where I actually think you might be able to find a little bit of a better bet, not with just that shortest number, the favorite to be the lowest scoring game. I actually think there's a good chance the Eagles and the Rams could be the lowest scoring game of the weekend, that the Chiefs and the Texans, probably not going to hit the half century mark at 50, but could end up with like 45, barely over its total of 41 and a hook, where I do really believe we are going to see great defensive performances out of both the Eagles and the Rams once again.
Yes, and you're right about this, and also the elements creeping in. Yesterday, I mapped out my game plan exactly where I wanted to go, games that I thought could be high scoring, games where I thought the defenses would actually have impacts here. Well, the Philadelphia Eagles game did change this morning. They were talking about some weather conditions that could be in effect on Sunday. Wake up this morning, National Weather Service now says there's a chance, and maybe a 20% chance, that we could be looking at as many as 6 inches of snow in Philadelphia. Now, you might say to yourself, and I do this as well, who cares if it's overnight, Ben? Who cares if it's after the game? Who cares if it's 6 hours before the game? That field will be tarped and it won't be a problem. The problem is, Ben, that tarp is going to be off the field. If we're looking at weather conditions in Philadelphia, which is supposed to hit around 2 o'clock, keep in mind, it's a 3 o'clock kickoff. That tarp is not going on the field until 2:59 for a 3 o'clock kickoff. It's already off. And if it's supposed to snow throughout the game, it's very hard to keep up with accumulating snow in cold conditions. Even, Ben, if it's 3 to 4 inches over those four to 5 hours that you would have, you are going to have some issues there. That is going to play into it. So when I look at that game in Philadelphia, and we talked about it all week, how good the Rams defense has been playing over the past month and a half, the number one defense in football in the Philadelphia Eagles. So if you're looking from a Rams perspective, sure, they can run, but Matthew Stafford's the quarterback. He's not really a mobile guy that's going to say, you know, I'll run 7 or 8 times because the pass rush slows down and I can just make some yards out here. At the same time, Puka Nacua is a fantastic wideout and got over 100 yards last time against the Philadelphia Eagles, but that was also in blowout fashion. Maybe a little bit more tight to the vest in that Philadelphia Eagles-Rams game where they're both going to try to establish the run and Philadelphia would have the edge. That's the low-key one because the high-scoring game of the week, as you see, at a 6-1 price, it could get there, but I think we're both leaning towards now that 44.5 that were there yesterday at 43.5, and I agree with that move lower.
In DRS, it really does make a ton of sense as well. When you look at that total and what an expected game flow would be, especially in wintry conditions. Snow is often weird because snow can also make things incredibly difficult for the defense. They are trying to chase offensive players. The offense knows exactly where it's going to go. The defense has to be reactionary. So if there is bad footing, that actually plagues the defense more than it does the offense. They're trying to keep up with where guys are moving past them, trying to make a tackle. It hurts a little bit more when it's cold and it's snowy. Could that lead to big chunk plays? Could it lead to explosive plays even on the ground, which actually might help scoring, even if it's not 50-yard touchdown passes time and again? Potentially. But Donnie, I think even when you look at the props for the Eagles and the Rams, you get a sense of how these two teams are going to be constructed come Sunday. Kyren Williams, 74.5 is rushing yards prop. 19.5 is the attempts number. Saquon Barkley, his attempts prop is 21.5. The over has the hefty juice. 111 and a hook is his rushing yards prop. Even in the snow, even if they run the football, even if there are some big plays that will be had, what happens when you run the clock? You don't have incompletions. You don't have stoppages. You see that time dwindle, which, if there's not as many moments in the game to score a touchdown, could keep you under 43.5.
Yes, and also understand this. When you're looking at the game itself, like when you add elements in, it adds to a chance and an increase typically in an upset. But also, we have to be realistic about what we've seen over the past 50 years in the NFL. Dome teams going outdoors in the playoffs on short rest, having to play in elements. It usually doesn't work out in their favor unless you can say, I have a Jalen Hurts, I have a Lamar Jackson, I have a Josh Allen. This fits perfectly into the style. If we're coming into this and being realistic, fandom aside, snowy conditions in Philadelphia absolutely favors the Philadelphia Eagles. Yeah. But as Ben, you pointed out, we don't know what type of snow and environment are we going to get because you're right. If it's so slippery, it's negligible out here. It's like a heavy rainstorm in a football game where a team that loves to pass, of course you're going to give it to the team that likes to run the football more. That's what you're trying to thread the needle with. But if I'm looking optimistically about this game and saying it leads to the under with an advantage towards the Philadelphia Eagles, but again, we don't know exactly. We might get no snow on Sunday. We might get an unbelievable, you can't see the field. It's snowing so bad at times. We just don't know.
And which games will be the most competitive? That's what we discuss up next on The Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on this Football Friday, getting you set for the divisional round. Now, it is really interesting to see three of our four matchups in a weekend we have tried to build as the best of the best have spreads of 6.5, 8.5, 8.5 with only one number that is even fewer than a field goal, and it's very close. Of course, we'll talk Buffalo and Baltimore in just a moment. But Donnie, to start off the postseason last weekend, five of our six games decided by at least 12 points. Only one game was decided by a single score. It was the Commanders winning outright on the road against the Buccaneers. Are we going to see closer football games? We would hope, we would expect the NFL's best eight teams still playing at this time of the season. Now with the one seeds in action and a couple of great games on the slate. But again, the spreads are pretty large in a lot of our spots. So the closest game that we anticipate on the FanDuel Sportsbook is Buffalo in Baltimore. It is basically a pick'em. There are 8 cents of difference right now for our final game of four this weekend, Sunday night in Western New York. But Donnie, we kind of talked about it with the highest scoring games and the lowest scoring games, that it made some sense based on the pregame numbers for the total that we would expect it to go chalk. Again, there's only one game that features a spread less than a field goal, less than 6.5. It's Buffalo and Baltimore, and yet for that game to be the closest game is only plus 220, just 80 cents shy of what that 3-1 ticket would be for the Rams and the Eagles. That, to me, is almost a slight misprice.
It seems like it. When you think about it, it's like it's supposed to be the closest game, but at the same time, you go, boy, if we're getting colder conditions, you know, two electric quarterbacks, two running games that could get fired up, quarterbacks making plays off schedules, this game could be the closest game, but also maybe find itself as the blowout of the weekend. He said that doesn't make any sense. It's just the way the game script for me would be. So if you took a flyer on closest game and biggest blowout, like sort of for that middle as one to happen there, I think you have a pretty good chance at that. And as you start to move down the list and like the closest game listed with the Rams and the Philadelphia Eagles at 3-1, if the elements come into it, that game just might play itself into being the closest game, even if coming into the week on a clean slate and a nice day in Philadelphia, you wouldn't think the same way. The one I do think that really could get away quickly, and you see the biggest blowout numbers, which is Washington and Detroit. Washington hasn't shown the propensity to say, well, we're just going to get hammered in these games. The quarterback's young. He's electric. I like their offensive game plan. They'll be ultra aggressive. But sometimes you can't just stop that freight train running down the tracks, as I like to say, for Detroit, where that game could get away. So I do think these games are appropriately priced. I just think the anomaly of closest game plus 220 Buffalo and Baltimore, and then biggest blowout plus 470 Buffalo Baltimore. I think there's a chance that that game could be the closest or could be the blowout more than any other game.
51.5 is the number for the game. So if there is a lot of scoring, it could skew one way come Sunday evening. But the game is expected to be decided by a point. So the fact it's only plus 220 in the Rams and the Eagles with a 6.5-point spread in favor of the home team in Philadelphia is only 80 cents behind that for our most competitive and closest game is a little bit intriguing. You can understand why the Birds and the Rams could be very tight, because if the game does stay under, if it is a couple of brilliant defenses on display, points hard to come by, that margin not nearly as wide. Biggest blowout, DRS, if you had to bet one of those four prices, which one would it be?
Actually, it would be Houston and Kansas City. I would bet that one at the plus 230 price, because I know a lot of people, and sometimes a little bit contrarian, Andy Reid coming off a bye where that team is 100% healthy, and you're not getting 100% healthy Houston Texans team, which includes Joe Mixon missing practice this week, when you know you're probably going to have to lean on him. Let's just say he's not 100%. Take away Nico Collins, which you know Spagnuolo will do. I don't know where the points come from. And when we say blowout, maybe it just means, Ben, 24-10, a 14-point margin. Because when we re-blow, it's like, oh, 35 points there. Like, no, you're just asking for the team to win by the most points of the weekend, which, quite frankly, could be 14 points.
Yeah, absolutely, right? It doesn't have to be 35-3. It doesn't have to be 38-24 in a high-scoring game. It can be 24-7, which is what the odds are kind of expecting when you look at those pregame numbers for the matchup inside Arrowhead. Again, I kind of agree with DRS. I think it would be worth a wager on the plus 230 for KC and Houston. Guys, have you watched the Chiefs play this year? An average margin in their first 16 games when all the starters were out there, 6.1. They're 0-5 against the spread as a touchdown favorite. They haven't been blowing anybody out. That's regular season Chiefs football, brother. We're talking about playoff football now in Kansas City. And something I have dreamed of now becomes a reality. A Football Friday pick six with Johnny Wrightson next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This is how you know a Football Friday is special. This is how you know a Football Friday is different. Not just Donnie Wrightside, but DRS's divisional round pick six. The inventor of the pick six is here with us for the NFL's final eight. I believe you were the inventor, right? Or was it Brian Rutkowski or was it Kevin Walsh?
No, neither one of those get credit for that. Come on, I carried that show. It was my invention. It was about, by the way, truth be told, if we're going back in history of the Sports Grid Network, it was named something ridiculous. So I had to step in and save it and say, no, it's football. Let's keep with a football moniker here, boys. Let's do it. So there, that's a little history of the Sports Grid Network.
Sometimes when I think of what it was originally supposed to be
called
as an acronym for all of them.
Two young kids not ready for the air. Had to school them in the craft of here's what's supposed to go down on the air, gentlemen. Let's be professionals here. That's why I was brought here.
Bring those guys along. Never forget, Donnie Wrightside, the most professional of everybody. True. So just in case this is your first Football Friday tuning in or you need a refresher, we welcome you. It's the divisional round. Let's give you some picks. It's our favorite touchdown scorer of the weekend, a moneyline underdog to keep a game close and potentially pull off the outright upset. Our favorite under of the weekend, an alt line with a sprinkle of plus money, favorite yardage prop, and then DRS and myself, we combine forces for a two-leg six-point teaser. Originator, the floor is yours. What is your favorite anytime touchdown prop of divisional weekend?
We're going to go to Detroit, and we're going to keep it simple. That line's listed at 55.5. I'm not worried, Ben, whether the wind is blowing a certain direction, rain or snow is coming down. We are in a dome with a rested and ready football team against a defense that can be had throughout the air. Now, also keep in mind, if you were betting quarterback props, we'll get to that later, and you're looking at Jared Goff, you might go to the FanDuel Sportsbook and say, hey, Donnie, what's this over-under for touchdown passes? Well, typically it's 1.5. No! It's listed at 2.5. So we're expected to have multiple touchdown passes from the arm of Jared Goff. Why not the best wide receiver there who's caught multiple touchdown passes this year, particularly as of late as well? Amon-Ra St. Brown, anytime touchdown score at a minus 140 price in a 55.5 game in a dome with an unbelievable offense? Yeah, give me Amon-Ra St. Brown. He's scoring a touchdown this weekend for me.
Donnie, there's a reason that number is minus 140. On Amon-Ra St. Brown. The total is 55.5, and you correlated to everything correctly. Amon-Ra did not score in the first two games of this year for Detroit. Then he scored in eight consecutive games and even did a headstand. Then he did not find pay dirt in three consecutive, scored in three straight, did not score in the regular season finale against the Vikings. I, like you, expect him to score for Detroit tomorrow night. My favorite touchdown score is in our final game of four in this divisional round, Sunday in Buffalo, James Cook at plus 105. I can understand kind of why this number is plus 105. The Ravens are the best rushing defense, and it's not particularly close throughout the entirety of the year in the National Football League. But then I start to think about James Cook and this total also being at 51.5. James Cook scored 16 rushing touchdowns in the regular season, tied for the most around the National Football League, scored last week against Denver. Make that 17. He has two receiving touchdowns this year. Make that 19 in total. And his number is plus 105. Derrick Henry is minus 210. All right. Josh Allen is even money. Plus 100. All right. But plus 105 for Buffalo's lead back that is tied atop the NFL for the most rushing touchdowns this year in a game that features a total north of 50. Give me James Cook at plus 105 to hit Pater DRS on Sunday in Orchard Park.
Oh, it absolutely makes sense. I loved him last week. The punch in a touchdown gets out on the first drive there going up against the Denver Broncos. So I was feeling good with that. He's also one of those guys now, Ben. It's the playoffs. You want to hold him under wraps, 13, 14, 15 carries maybe in the regular season. Now you're seeing the guy get 20-plus carries, and he's going to need to do it again. We understand how tough it is to score, right, against the Baltimore Ravens defense and how great they are on the ground. But trust me on this. When you're in the red zone, he is a legitimate threat. And also, some injuries to some backup running backs, which include concussions, might help him get even more carries on the goal line this week. So how about that?
And it is everything in there, of course, to earn a spot in the AFC championship game. Three of our four matchups this weekend feature a spread of 6.5 points or greater, two of them at 8.5 right now in favor of the one seeds on Saturday. So it's a little bit difficult to pick that money line underdog to pull off the outright upset. Who did you go with?
Yeah, I'm not diving into those Saturday games because when we're talking about efforts, and I already said, which I'll get to my pick here in a second, well, the Rams do have it a little bit tougher from going East Coast to West Coast, a little bit shorter work. We get that. But nobody's has it tougher than the Houston Texans and the Washington Commanders, the number one seeds in the conference waiting on short rest weeks already for the two football teams they're playing, rested, healthy. I don't think we're getting an upset. You might get a close game, but I don't think we're getting an upset, which immediately puts us, Ben, onto the Sunday football forecast where the Philadelphia Eagles are favored by, let's call it roughly a touchdown. Then you take a look at the Buffalo Bills and the Baltimore Ravens, more of a coin flip here. I went to Philadelphia, and I like to say the most unbiased man here at the Sports Grid Network, look at my upset special here. It's the Rams, and it's plus 225. Now, ask me who I think wins this game. It's the Philadelphia Eagles. Well, Donnie, why are you picking the Rams? Because I'm playing percentages here. If I know on Saturday I'm not getting an upset winner, and I look at Sunday and say, you know what? I think at this price point, with weather conditions that might come in and mess with the advantage of the Philadelphia Eagles, even though I told you weather favors the Eagles, we don't know how that weather actually will affect both of these football teams. So from looking at price points here and making sense of things, I do think this game was already going to be lower scoring. But now when I look at this game and say, you know what? There is a chance that the Rams could steal this, Ben. As you McVay's won a Super Bowl. Stafford's won a Super Bowl here. You do have a good running back. You have Puka Nacua who can go up and get any football against anybody in any weather conditions, and a defense that is certainly surging late in the season. So for upset capabilities with price point, it's the Rams for me. It is.
Donnie, I don't have a great read on this spread. I think it is fair to have the Birds as nearly a touchdown favorite at home. And they have been at home for nearly a month with all the travel logistics the Rams have had to deal with in the last week and a half is also very favorable for the Eagles. But just because I don't have a great read on the spread, I still think this game stays within a single score for a good majority of it. And if that is going to be the case in a low-scoring affair, then the Rams are going to have an opportunity, it would seem, to be in striking distance to win that football game outright. I'll go with the easiest money line underdog, at least based on how competitive we expect a game to be, and that's in Western New York. The Bills outright, plus 100. Last night, even money, now minus 104, which would still be considered a money line underdog. I do think Buffalo wins this game. I do think Buffalo has some edges against Baltimore. So I'll back the Bills as a slight money line underdog, but it really is a toss-up. I would not be shocked if Baltimore won that game in Orchard Park by any means. Favorite under of the weekend, DRS, I assume it is in a potential snowy city of brotherly love on Sunday.
Exactly, and we're going to get some games. I'm actually, out of the four games here, I do think it's 3-1 to the under, so it was pretty easy. Like, oh, man, I really got to stress myself out, Ben, to think who that under is going to be. I already liked the Eagles-Rams game under 44.5 at the FanDuel Sportsbook yesterday. Now weather concerns, 43.5 drops it down, more than likely to play some sort of, you know, I don't want to say slowing the offensive down, but just make it a little bit harder to be a complete offense as you can be. It's easy for me. Under 43, and this game can still have an Eagles win and a cover and stay well below that. Two good defenses playing at the right time at the end of the year, and with weather elements, it's a no-brainer for me. Give me the Philadelphia Eagles and the Rams under 43.5.
I think it's hard to argue for every reason that you just alluded to. Game flow, defenses on display, and maybe some weather on a Sunday afternoon in Philadelphia. I think the only over you have of our four games this weekend is my under 55 and a hook. Yes, indoors. Yes, perfect conditions tomorrow night inside Ford Field. And Donnie, I don't think this is 40 total points between Detroit and Washington, but I do believe we stay under 55.5. I'll highlight even more why and why it's important to me. And also, I think Donnie, in terms of his NFC Championship tickets, on the other side of the break as we continue our divisional pick six live right here on TED.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We welcome you back to a divisional round Football Friday in a divisional round pick six, our favorite bets of the entire weekend. Right before the break, DRS gave you his favorite under Philly and LA under 43.5. I'm going with an under of the highest total of the weekend at 55 in a hook. I'm not expecting a defensive struggle. I'm not expecting a low scoring game. This game could even approach 50, but just still stay under. For me, it is playoff football, but it's almost a little bit selfish, DRS, why I bet this under. I have a Super Bowl ticket on the Detroit Lions. With all of the significant injuries that started to pile up for the Lions in the home stretch of this season, I started to get a little bit worried. Not because of what the offense would be capable of doing, but could the defense in these spots, in playoff atmospheres, make stops when necessary? And those fears were kind of quelled a little bit by the regular season finale. A Detroit defensive performance holding Minnesota to only 9 points that reinstilled in me, at least, hey, that Lions Super Bowl ticket has a great opportunity of at least getting to New Orleans and maybe even being cashed with a Lombardi trophy. I think one of the most important performances of divisional round weekend in what it could mean moving forward is Detroit's defense against Jaden Daniels and the Commanders. If they give up 24, 28, 31, I'll be nervous again. Still expecting the Lions offense to outpace that on the other side. But if the Lions defense stands tall in this divisional round matchup, I will truly believe that Detroit will go somewhere no other Detroit Lions team has, and that's to a Super Bowl.
And you have to understand this, too. This is a rookie quarterback. And so, well, Don, he won last week in Tampa on the road. I get that. You're now going into a place in Detroit where this crowd is not used to these type of situations. You say, well, what do you mean by that? Understand this. When a town that has suffered for so long finally starts to get close to that mountaintop and will have their first playoff game at home in eons, that place, you won't be able to hear the snap count for all 60 minutes of that game for a rookie quarterback in a dome environment when you know Aaron Glenn is going to be blitzing the heck out of him. That is a major advantage. And also, as we pointed out, Ben, nobody's kicking field goals in this game, which could be detrimental and could be a rocket ship into the 60s, no question. But all you need is a 4th-and-3 on a 6-minute drive inside the 5-yard line, not go your way, and they actually knock the play down or stop it here, and then 97 yards the opposite direction where maybe they score a touchdown but take 6 minutes. That's 12 minutes of gameplay with 7 points on the board with a 55 and a half. As we say in the business, you need a clean ride to get the 55 and a half. Yeah. So I can see why people are just looking and saying, you know what? I'll roll the dice and just take the under based on that.
Zero speed bumps. Fourth down conversion is going to be key to get you over 55 and a hook. If they convert, if they are successful, and a 4th-and-2 from your opponent's 20 becomes a 1st-and-10 from the 15, a touchdown likely follows. That's how this game pushes to the over. Alt line. Favorite alternate number of the weekend with a sprinkle of plus money. Where do you look, DRS?
Sprinkle that plus money in there. Give me Lamar Jackson. It's got to be Lamar Jackson because I understand this in simple facts. When you're in the regular season in the NFL, your quarterback's going to be electric. They do it. Lamar has been fantastic. The running quarterback, as long as they're healthy, fantastic. But once you get into the playoffs, you no longer are worried about next week because the only thing that matters is this week. And I always just keep it simple. On 3rd-and-7 in the regular season, you're running up the middle and that safety is bearing down on you and going to stop it. You might slide in week 12, week 13, week 14. You're not in the playoffs here. So for me, Lamar Jackson going over 70 and a half rushing yards at close to a 2-to-1 price makes way too much sense because I look at this game with another prop that I love, him to rush at least 9.5 times, which means 10 carries. Yeah. You're telling me if Lamar Jackson is getting 10 carries in this game against the Buffalo Bills, he's not getting 70 yards? I love Lamar Jackson. When the playoff stakes rise, you have Josh Allen on one side, Lamar Jackson on the other. Come on, they're going to try to out-duel each other. Lamar is going over that 70 marker here. I'll take that close to 2-to-1 price. I love it.
A great sprinkle of plus money. 15 carries, 81 yards for Lamar last week through the century mark in last year's divisional round win at home against the Texans. I'm going Jahmyr Gibbs, 125 plus rush plus receiving yards at plus 160. Line actually working down ever so slightly today at plus 145 as the rushing yards number for Gibbs goes up just a little bit. David Montgomery expected to be back, but there is more than a 35-yard gap between Gibbs' rushing yards prop, 81.5, and that of Monty at 45 and a hook. I'm not sure David Montgomery is fully 100%. I do expect him to play.
Correct.
I do expect him to be out there. But Donnie, in his 3-game absence to end out the regular season, Jahmyr Gibbs at least 154 scrimmage yards. He scored in every game. He had a 4-total touchdown game in that huge game 272 to end out the regular season against the Vikings. I still expect a very big Jahmyr Gibbs game tomorrow night, especially in a high-scoring affair with 55.5. And I believe he will do the lion's share of the work offensively for those Lions. I'll take 125 plus rushing plus receiving at plus 160.
It makes a lot of sense, too, because you're also looking at the guy that can hit the home run. You don't even look at that and say, hey, man, he needs 25 touches to get this done. That might be 10 touches, and down the barrel you go with a W there. So we can see it.
I like the receiving yards in the fold as well. All right, your favorite yardage prop of the weekend is what?
Austin Eckler over 23.5 receiving yards at the FanDuel Sportsbook. He said, why would you pick that one in a game with 55 points and other guys are going to be involved? Hear me out. All four quarters, I expect this to be in play, which means I expect Washington to lose, possibly down double digits. That means more time on the field for Eckler and some cheap yards you can pick up. I expect this one to be a good run in this one. And also, as I said, whether they're up first quarter, second quarter, third quarter, fourth, he's going to be catching passes. If they're down like the game script looks like it's going to be, this goes way over. Austin Eckler, he's going to be into at least the 30s with receiving yards.
The Commanders need something out of the running backs tomorrow night to keep the game close against Detroit. But Donnie, you don't think it's all that close, as we'll go to your teaser as we send you into the money line right before the break. Your teaser is what for this weekend?
The Detroit Lions. I just don't see either one of those teams on Saturday losing that football game. So I think they win it by a field goal, which might play right into Ben's action as well.
It certainly does. I take the Chiefs through two key numbers. KC minus 2.5. There are the pick sixes for a divisional round. A Football Friday treat indeed. I'll talk my yardage prop up next. DRS, have a glorious weekend, my friend. More on the early line next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on the early line to end out a Football Friday. What a Football Friday it has been to set the stage for one of the best weekends of each and every NFL season. The divisional round, four incredible matchups, eight great teams trying to earn spots in our two conference championship games in the AFC and the NFC exactly a weekend from now. Shout out Joe Ranieri. We appreciate him being here for the first 2 hours. Donnie Wrightside, filling in on a Football Friday and making sure you had that pick six ready for this divisional weekend. As we shared, our two-leg six-point teaser, taking the 2 8.5-point favorites in our doubleheader on Saturday, down through two key numbers, through a touchdown, through a field goal, 2.5-point spread. I agree with Donnie's thought. I think both of the teams that won in wild card weekends, both as underdogs, the Texans and the Commanders on Saturday against both of our one seeds, come up just a little bit short. Not that each game is going to be a rout or a snoozer, but just maybe not able to keep the game to within a single score or perhaps even a field goal. I'll end out the pick six talking a little bit of history. We got 11 of the 12 potential categories. While Donnie was here, we didn't get my favorite yardage prop. For me, it's Travis Kelce over 51.5. Because when you look at what Travis Kelce has done in the postseason, it is remarkable. It is historic. And that number of 51.5 is just a little bit too short. A number, by the way, that even in a disappointing start to the season for Travis Kelce, he still went over in 8 of the final 13 regular season games that he played. Travis Kelce has 1,903 receiving yards in his playoff career. He has 19 receiving touchdowns. Both of those numbers, second most in NFL postseason history, only behind the great Jerry Rice. Travis Kelce needs 342 yards to catch that receiving yards playoff record that Rice holds at 2,245. Would he get it this year and at most three games? More than likely not. And we'll see about his football future beyond 2024. But as we focus on the playoff production of Mahomes and Kelce, it is historic. Last year in the postseason, despite a dismal and disappointing year, where maybe many questioned Travis Kelce, did he still have it? Was he still one of the best tight ends in the National Football League? He had at least 71 receiving yards in all four playoff games for the Chiefs. He had 7 receptions at least in 3 of the 4 and still scored 3 touchdowns. How about the year prior in 2022, another Super Bowl winning year for Kansas City? At least 81 receiving yards in all 3 games, a touchdown in all 3. Even 2021, when KC came up short in the AFC Championship game against the Bengals, all 3 games for Kansas City, at least 95 receiving yards for Travis Kelce, a touchdown in all 3. I think the Chiefs win comfortably tomorrow at home in Arrowhead. And I think we are reminded, despite a disappointing season, it's funny to call a 15-2 season disappointing, where one of those 2 losses came with all the backups in the regular season finale. But at least in terms of crushing teams, of blowing out teams, of decisively dominating teams, the Chiefs really didn't have it this year, which for a second consecutive season has allowed at least a little bit of doubt to build up for this dynastic run for Kansas City. I think tomorrow the Chiefs remind why they will play in 7 consecutive AFC Championship games, why they have won 2 straight Super Bowls, why they have played in 4 of the previous 6 Super Bowl matchups as well. I think Kansas City makes a statement at home, fresh off a bye with Andy Reid, 30-3 straight up in his career when his team is fresh off a bye and the other has not had the idle weekend. And the Chiefs, despite not covering a ton, especially in games they were expected to win comfortably, 0-5 against the spread this year as a touchdown favorite or greater, will show you why their postseason numbers are so drastically different than even the best regular seasons. Even a regular season that can result in 15 victories. The Chiefs are 13-5 against the spread in their playoff career since 2018, which of course coincides with the season that Patrick Mahomes became the starting quarterback in Kansas City. So Travis Kelce, over 51.5 receiving yards, for many reasons, it's my favorite bet from a yardage perspective for divisional round weekend. Again, what a football Friday it was. What a football weekend it is going to be. Pro Football Today featuring Donnie Wrightside, Kevin Walsh, and Joe Lisi live on both Saturday and Sunday for all of your NFL playoff action needs. We'll see you Monday with a college football playoff national championship to preview as well. Have a great week.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.